Baxter's Dugan, we realized, okay, we've got to make this into a company. Mm-hmm. And we just jumped into it, like going straight from uni, making a company. Mm-hmm. So we also started with no money in the beginning, which was definitely like also a thing we had to work with.
In the mid-2010s, two women met at the IT University of Copenhagen and worked on a joint thesis on how to make a game featuring narrative that allowed for two players to share within the same narrative without being online. What it turned into was TikTok, A Tale for Two, a game designed around two players that could be played on two devices and inspired by escape rooms as well as the fairy tale stories of Hans Christian Andersen. This is the story of how Other Tales Interactive found its footing with its first game and how it managed to make it while learning lessons along the way. For Play Diaries, this is Press Play. I'm Johnny Cullum. Let's start. Tanya Lynn Tancred and Mira Dorfi met as students at the IT University of Copenhagen. Both came from a bachelor's literary background, Tanya a bachelor in comparative literature, Mira a bachelor in competitive writing and linguistics. At uni in Copenhagen, they both studied a master's in game design, and it's there that they first meet at a Magic the Gathering event.
I can remember coming over to Mira very carefully and like a little bit nervous. Should we maybe write a thesis together? Because we were interested in the same things. We both really loved narrative in games.
That's Tanya. She's the artist on TikTok.
I wasn't so sure at the start.
Me neither.
Yeah, none of us had written anything with anyone else before. Like very lone wolf people in that regards. And then we were just like, okay, we should try this. And then we just had the same vision basically from the start, which was really cool. Yeah. And we came up with the idea for the game that we just released now.
And that's programmer, writer, and designer Mira. Here's Tanya again.
I think we started out being friends and playing a lot of Magic Gathering together and like hanging out at university. And then it also became like making games together with the thesis.
Yeah, like finding someone who really, really, really wanted to make something and like put all the effort into this one thing and in a way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The pair didn't know how to make a game beforehand, but did smaller projects at first to get their feet wet. One project was very Journey inspired. Known as Blue Journey, it was based on a little snowball that skated on ice, visited old ruins, and more. After that, they would go on to attend and take part in game jams to gain more experience. One game they made as part of one such game jam was a circus game. Here's Mira.
I didn't know how to program. And I didn't really know how to draw, or yep. Like you learned so much when you did this game. So that was quite nice to go and do some game jam things where we could just be like, okay, what did we do? We made some sort of circus game at some point as well, where we also, I forgot, the colliders everywhere, so we had puzzles, but people could just go straight into the tent wall, and it was like, oh, fuck, that happened. But it was just really nice to get the time to experiment like that as well. One of the game jams we did was on a boat in Norway that we went from like top of Norway to the south of Norway for 4 days or something. And there we were gonna try to make a networked test. Like we're gonna do the networking because we think that's what we're gonna do for TikTok. And then we got there and the internet was non-existent and very, 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 very bad. And that started just like, what could we do if we don't have internet and that people could play TikTok on a boat if they wanted to. So I think that was the most important one that I can remember.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. We're just also
getting to know each other, how each other works, and what you're interested in.
As part of this thesis, Mira and Tanya would play games together.
Like single player games, adventure games.
They played games that wanted to interact with whatever device that was being played on, as well as have the feeling that the player, or players, were in the narrative together respectively. It was then, when writing the thesis, a light bulb went off in Tanya's head.
What if it's more like a calm experience and where you have to solve puzzles together?
And then when we wrote it, we also tried to look at games that did something similar in whatever regards, like either with narrative or the co-op aspect of it. And then looking at, okay, there's a hole here that we can try to make a game that fits. For that was very exciting also, where you realized, what? No, I made this very specific. It's like a genre, so with one game in the part now.
At that point, Tanya and Mira wrote their thesis as it looked at narrative games made for two players, and it played the likes of Smogo's Near Walk, Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes by Steel Creek Games, and Old School Myst Games, as well as We Were Here from Total Mayhem Games late into the development of TikTok. But there was something else that would hugely inspire what would go on to become TikTok. What made you want to sort of delve into more of the escape room sort of loop for the game? When Tanya and Mira met at the IT University of Copenhagen, the concept of escape rooms were starting to grow as they became more and more popular with those who ended up using them.
An interactive game taking over the city called Escape the Room. Players are locked in a room and given just 60 minutes to earn freedom by finding hidden objects and solving clues. They're also fed hints by employees watching from hidden cameras.
According to a November 2019 report on the blog, The Logic Escapes Me, there are upwards of 50 to 60,000 escape rooms in the world right now, with the United States and China being the big two players on the market. An April 2019 article by the New York Times reported that some escape rooms could be earning as much as close to $500,000 a year, although bear in mind that the article is nearly 2 years old, and as it states in the report, accurate numbers are difficult to get hold of, as a majority of escape room companies are private and aren't obligated to release any financials at all. But the escape room market, while growing, was still in its infancy at the time, but it was in some of those escape rooms that Tanya and Mira would find the gameplay loop for TikTok. Here's Mira.
I think one thing is that because we're making something very new that we don't really know how people will react to, if we use some, like, structure or just try to take what's awesome about escape rooms, then we're looking at that as a target audience as well. Like, okay, there's so many people going to escape rooms now, and it was kind of like at the height of the craze. And seeing, and also because we both love to go to them, and we're like, this is so cool. This is all about touching things and talking to each other and doing some sort of, no, it feels very tactile in a way, and I feel that's also what we try to make with TikTok. Later, we have these boxes you have to solve, we have these, even though they're digital, it's still very mechanical, and we make sure that they, like, some is magic, but some is also just, this would work if you pull this thing, that would happen. So we're kind of building this in our heads, like the whole mechanic parts of it, which is what they do at escape rooms, but for real.
Like, I think we had, like, in Sweden, in Malmö, and in Copenhagen, we had a couple of escape rooms, so we have tried them before. But I also think there's just a lot of wonderful theory about escape rooms at that point, because we were writing a thesis.
With escape rooms, as Tanya points out, it went into them with what she says was, quote, a research kind of approach, noting it could solve player communications with one another within the game.
We went to the game with a very, like, researchy kind of approach. And I think there was just a lot of the escape room research that made a lot of sense, that could solve a lot of issues that we had in the game, like how to make people communicate, and like there's certain things in an escape room where, like, you try to make people work towards a common goal in order to get that feeling of togetherness, and we exactly wanted the feeling of togetherness, and then it was like, okay, this is really important, this is something we're gonna, like, morph into our game.
And that some of the escape rooms we were at, where there were different rooms, it was also, then they're not networked. It's not that you pull lever, the ones that we were, or not, you put a lever in one room and something happens to the other. It's more like, you put, like, maybe that happens as well, but you put, like, mirrors or something, and you have to just, like, make the connection yourself so you see different things. I know that was also something really cool with that.
TikTok's multiplayer component isn't a real-time online aspect, but rather asynchronous. Two players need to own respective copies of the game on the platform they wish to play on. PC, Mac, iOS, Nintendo Switch, before designating who's player 1 and who's player 2, respectively. It's worth noting that TikTok supports cross-play across all platforms the game is available on. There's no voice chat directly within TikTok itself. If you know the person you'll be playing the game with, you can of course get together on a chat program like Skype or Discord and voice chat, to say the least of possibly even meeting in person. That said, there's definitely still an aspect of trying to get right the nuances of having such communication not only work, but sync up with what the game itself is offering up to two different people on two different devices. So, how did it manage to achieve that? Here's Mira.
A lot of playtesting, I think. Mm-hmm. I was like really balancing it out. And I think it was important for us that there was like not one player that felt like, okay, now I'm sitting and doing all the stuff and the other one is just sitting and waiting. So we try to balance that, and also making sure that people were saying a lot of time, saying a lot of things to each other. Like we have text in the game where people have to read out loud to each other, which is something we found quite cozy and something we thought that was really good from our childhood, for example, that our parents read out loud to us. It's like a certain kind of connectedness or
sort of a relaxation element of sorts.
Yeah, and this whole storytelling thing that happens, we also research everything we did in research, which is cool, where a lot of oral storytelling where people are just talking to each other, that was very, very interesting, and people seem to like to do that if we give them something, a goal within it as well. That was really cool.
Yeah, and I think it's also like something about that feeling, like there's something very special, like getting something read out loud to you. And I think we just, if you can just get a small snippet of that in the game, that would be so cool.
Yeah, so we worked a lot on also making the things in the game, I don't know if this is a word, like, not talkative, but like that you could explain them with words. So to be like, okay, we have some circles, we have a thing, like we just make sure that people can tell the other what they're seeing.
Yep.
So this is also a lot like they do in Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, where they have striped wires or blue wires, like all these different things that you can tell people, okay, if this is important, you will know how to talk about it. Even if it's in your own language and you say, here's a pyramid or a triangle, it's the same thing, but you just...
Yeah.
But one aspect that wasn't designed for the game that somehow still works with it is streaming.
It's so nice that people get very invested. And they're talking to each other and trying to solve things, and one person says something and then someone else, like in the chat, they're just like, they're helping each other.
I mentioned to both Tanya and Mira that streaming wasn't something I was thinking of in terms of TikTok and how it would affect the game, especially in terms of participation. But in hindsight, it actually makes sense. It's no less different than what it'd be like playing on traditional platforms. Player 1 being the streamer, player 2 being the chat.
Like, look at this thing, or what about that thing?
And then they laugh when the streamer doesn't see the thing that's right in front of them. And that's also fun. There's all these things that are very engaging.
It was after graduation that, as they started putting together the initial development of what would become TikTok, that Tanya and Mira were picked to join the class of 2016 at the Swedish-based Stugan, a home away from home of sorts for budding independent developers. Think of it in that regard as Indie Game Dev Summer Camp. Some of the group that year not only included Tanya and Mira, but also artist Karen Texeria for her space opera visual Astromantica, and former PC Gamer critic turned developer Tom Francis, who was working on his second game at the time, Heat Signature, following the success of his first game, Gunpoint.
The year we were there, they picked 20 game developers from all around the world who were working on different projects, and we were all in this cabin for 7 weeks, which was right next to a lake, right next to a hill where there was also all these magical things like northern lights and meteor shower. It was pretty crazy.
That's Mira again.
You're also hanging out with all these people who are also getting to know each other, and you're not only always working, you're also hanging out with them just playing games or talking to them about games and things like that.
And here's Tanya.
Yeah, it's just like this very like creative hub where there's a lot of creative people there, a lot of creative people coming there, and then we had talks where we present in the game and you get feedback, and it's like you get feedback every day almost, and like if you get stuck on something there's someone that can help you, and there's just it's very cool. And then I also think there's something about being away from your everyday life, just gets this like very intense experience because you're 7 weeks out in the Swedish woods. There's not much else to do than like go for a walk or hang out with people or make your game. And I think that kind of life was really nice.
Yeah.
In their time at Stugan, it would find an additional person to help work on the text animation within TikTok, talk with publisher reps who'd be on sites such as Royal Fury, and lawyers who would help and provide advice on how to become a company. But for all intents and purposes, such things would come later, because as the days and weeks would go on over the course of the 7 week stay in the Swedish forest, a majority of what TikTok would become would start taking shape. After Stugan, Tanya and Mira would set up an official company, Other Tales Interactive. There were now two elements for both of them to juggle. Not only development on their first game, a process that they were still learning as they went on, but attempting to run a company. During Stugan, they were given advice on how to set up and run their own company. From there, the real challenge began, as Mira describes.
After Stugan, we realized, okay, we've got to make this into a company, and we just jumped into it, like going straight from making a company. Mm-hmm. So we also started with no money in the beginning, which was definitely like also a thing we had to work with. But we have a lot of amazing funds here in Denmark as well. So we have something that's called the Danish Film Institute that support smaller experimental games, and we're lucky to get on board that funding scheme. And later down the line we also got an investment, and so it kind of worked out, even though we're still living on like a lower salary. And I think what has been the biggest challenge is also like estimating how long this thing takes, because we're like a small team, and suddenly also doing all this administration and making a company and stuff, it also just takes so much time.
Looking for money, we spent quite a long time as well, because we got part of it from the beginning, so we can make a prototype, and then we kept applying for different things and got investments and things like that as well.
Other Tales would be provided funding from the likes of the Danish Film Institute, who've previously provided funding in the past to games, the two projects today from Inside and the Limbo developer Playdead, as well as receiving backing from Coffee Stain Studios, the developer behind Goat Simulator that is now owned by Embracer Group, their parent company of publishers Deep Silver and THQ Nordic. Here's Tanya.
Something that was good also with the Danish Film Institute was that we had to find our weaknesses, find our strengths in the game, and make sure we had an answer to things that people might ask about. So our biggest challenge with this game was how to distribute it and how to sell it, because if two people have to buy the game, that's what we could, like, we tried all these different types of ways to sell it, and that's the one thing we chose, and it worked, which was a gamble in itself. But we had also these plans for, okay, if that doesn't work, then we go into the next stage of doing different things. So it was also just being very prepared things that was quite cool, but also then millions of unforeseen stuff happened anyway, as they do, and just be okay with that.
However, although it was definitely still a challenge in making what was their first game, there was no real pressure on either of them as well.
We didn't feel it. It was more like, okay, we knew what we could do. We're looking, we're deciding what puzzles we're doing based on what we think we can learn, what we realize that is what we might try something in this house is too difficult at this point in time with the money that we have and the time that we have. So then we can just do, okay, we do no networking now, and then we can do the design, because that's also what we're studying at university, that we felt more comfortable with, and we're making different, just a lot of playtesting, so that felt, we felt like we think we know this, and of course, you know, and so we put it out there.
And here's Tanya.
I think it's always fun to learn stuff. I think for me, like, in the art world, there was something where there was a struggle of, like, I could see, like, if something looked bad, but sometimes I didn't know how to correct it, and that could make me a bit frustrated, but then I had to, like, just learn more and keep going. And that also meant that the art style actually changed quite a bit during the development, where I think if I had tried stuff before, I would maybe have been better at, like, nailing that art style from the beginning. So hopefully our next game, it'll go, like, faster.
Yeah.
So there was, like, those were more specific to, like, for example, then I would learn a new thing. Like, then I would learn, oh, occlusion is, like, a thing, right? Just, like, where you put shadows in the edges and stuff like that. And then suddenly your, like, art looks very different, and then I have to put it everywhere on all the assets and stuff like that. So it's just, so it's both a good thing, learning things, but also, yeah, sometimes extra work, because you have to redo things.
Yeah. And I felt like we were also very ambitious, because we didn't know how difficult things would be. That, okay, let's release it on our four platforms at the same time.
Yeah.
Because that's why we haven't done this all.
Yeah, why not?
We don't know how hard it can be.
It's hard.
So we released it on Android and iOS and PC and Mac the first day. And then now, months and months after, it's also on the Switch. But we're just,
yeah.
There was something else both Tanya and Mira had to deal with now that they had graduated from university, making their first game and running a small games development company, achieving a decent work-life balance. And in an era where burnout in the games industry is common, and crunch is still within the industry, it's an important topic. Here's Tanya again.
So actually keep that work-life balance, and I think it's so hard when you're a creative, because you just want to, I get also very much immersed into it, and I want to work on it, and I want to, like, if there is something that needs to be solved, like, my mind is just like, oh, how do you solve this design thing? How do you do it? And it keeps running. But I think, yeah, for the next game, at least, like, the hours that we're in the office is going to be much more regular hours, and then we cannot control the mind, but at least that should be a balanced life. I think, like, we're, like, so what all the funding and the investment and stuff kind of gave us, but that we could work together with other people and we could pay them, like, what would be a normal salary.
Yeah.
And then we could be like, okay, it's actually us there's running the risk, and we can, like, live a little bit lower. But yeah, it's also like now we're out with our first game and stuff like that, and it's also, we're kind of wrapping up things and, like, going on to, like, starting new projects and stuff like that. So it also now, I think, is also a good time for reflecting upon, like, okay, what happened in this development that might should be, like, different for the next time. And there, I think we're also, like, yeah, definitely, like, planning in a different way, so you don't get into these periods where you work too much.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake. Yeah. Then now we can take some time to just be like, okay, we shouldn't work as much. We worked a lot on this game, which we shouldn't.
Yeah.
People shouldn't do, and we shouldn't have done, and that's where we're not going to do in this one.
TikTok was now in a place where it was showtime ready. Well, at least to show the publishers. But there was just one problem. As much as publishers liked what I'd seen of TikTok, it wanted to see a single player version, as it represented less of a risk financially than what the final product would end up being. Here's Tanya.
For us, we're like, no, we're not going to make a single player, because that's a completely different game, because our core of TikTok is the communication part, and if you don't have anyone to communicate with, it's, yeah, then something disappears of that game, and we didn't want to compromise in that sense.
Yeah.
And here's Mira.
Yeah, we just learned a lot about pitching there, because we had to say so many things in the pitch. I think it goes something like, TikTok is a two-player co-op non-network game, we play on two devices. Like, you don't really get to what it is about yet. Like, you just have to say all these things that are new and explain that. I think that's something we learned, and hopefully with the next game, if we do something more, it's easier to talk about what is it. And then we've already gone through this thing where it's,
yeah, there is a reference now.
In the end, Other Tales decided to go the self-publishing route with TikTok.
I think we've always been very clear of the vision of the game, and I think that's also why we start, like, because we had that thesis that we started out with, that we kind of knew this is where we need to go. And then there, I think there's also, we worked a lot on, like, balancing the difficulty
of the game, and some of the difficulty is actually laying in the communication. So if you take some of the puzzles and put them in single player version, I think they will become a lot easier. So there would also be something with that curve that would be off, and then we would also have, it would be a little bit like making a second game, I think, if we should also make a single player version of it.
Yeah.
Because it's, the experience of it is so different.
TikTok released on PC, Mac, and iOS in March of last year, with the Nintendo Switch version launching just last month. The first game from Tanya Lynn Tankred, Mira Dorfrey, and other tales conceived from a thesis on narrative and games is now out in the world. And now that it is, they can take stock on what they've made and reflect upon some of the lessons it has learned during the course of its development. So what are they? Mira starts us off.
Or felt so strongly about what it is that we really wanted to make, and the fact that we're, okay, we're taking a risk here now anyway, why not just take that risk fully, and then also go out and look for funding and investors that are interested in this risky thing. So the Danish Film Institute, they're a cultural fund, so they're, we're looking at the cultural values and the different, just basically, so that was for us a strength. So we're finding the are like cheerleaders that would follow us in our crazy adventure.
Also, I don't think it was actually, it was never a hard question when a publisher was like, oh, but could there be a single player version and then maybe we could like work together? I don't think that was ever a hard question for us, that we just, one of us was like, oh, maybe we should, because then I was just like, nah, don't want to do that.
For the lessons it's taken into its second game at Other Tales Interactive, Tanya admits that it's still working out what that will comprise of. However, the big takeaways are that for Other Tales, it's okay to go experimental. By Mira's own admission, TikTok was in a sense a portfolio game for Other Tales.
Yeah, just that it does take a lot more time than what you think.
Yes.
Like everyone's saying, we saw it now firsthand as well, it's very true. It's,
I think we're time optimists.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we forgot also that we're running a company, or we didn't take that into account. Like, that's a job.
Yeah.
So we were like basically having several jobs, because we were also, for the first part of the game, there were two people making it, and that's a lot to handle for anyone.
And then I think there's also something about just like the skill level, that we learn so much more because we started like from scratch. Of course, that will also go in the next game.
There's a lot of people, including ourselves for a while, I guess, that didn't know if this game would be, like, we thought, okay, this is a portfolio game for our studio. We're just going to make something that's weird, might not sell. Like, we have also this in our heads, like, we really, really want to go for this thing because right now we have the opportunity, we can take this risk, and then learning that, that feels like it's the lucky strike in a sense as well, where we did a lot of research for it to be like that, but it was very nice to think about what there has to be something that you think is the selling point if you want to make money or something. And that was also something we learned. If we take something from escape rooms, for example, there's a bigger chance that it's something will.
There's still room for doing a little bit of weird stuff. I think that was really good. I think that we will take over to the next game as well.
Yes.
For the next project itself, there are a lot of different plans in play, according to Mira, as both her and Tanya attempt to figure out what form and shape it'll take. But the one thing that is certain is something that will not only form part of the next game, but the core identity of Other Tales Interactive going forward. It'll have an atmospheric narrative. In fact, it goes some way to figuring out what the name Other Tales Interactive means.
It's a little bit in the company as well, like this, it's, we're called Other Tales Interactive, so there's something like, you want to tell some stories, but they also have to have that otherness about them.
Yeah.
But it's,
Press Play is hosted, written, and produced by me, Johnny Cullen. Hi. Special thanks to Charlene LeBrun, Press Play is a podcast by PlayDiaries.com, a website that focuses on telling interesting and unique stories about video games on both the AAA and indie level, as well as culturally, and taking a look at them in a different, critical way. We just launched, and think we have something special on our hands, so if you want to spread awareness of what we do, please share this podcast and our website out far and wide on social media, and everywhere else you can think of. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, just search Play Diaries. But the best way you can support us is by becoming a patron to our Patreon at patreon.com/playdiaries. $2 a month gets you in on the ground level, but paying $4 a month and you'll be able to get 24-hour exclusivity on every new episode of every Play Diaries podcast starting in February, with more Press Play, as well as our upcoming weekly podcast, The Journal, and the return of the award-nominated My Favorite Game before they go live publicly on Play Diaries. Every dollar is appreciated as it'll help firm up future plans that is currently in the works for the site. And for more stuff like this in future, both in podcast and written form, visit PlayDiaries.com. Thanks very much for listening.